What's good, Wager World? It's your boy Five Star in Vegas, broadcasting live as always from a. Now it's a fall day in beautiful summer in Nevada. Oh, man. Night just woke up this morning, man, and all of a sudden it was windy and 40 degrees, man. So that's how the desert is, though. It's some unpredictable weather. It's a lot of highs and a lot of lows, but we're feeling good. We can never be mad when we're looking at the golf courses. We're looking at mountains. We're looking at palm trees. But my heart is in Houston, Texas. This is the Wagering World. I'm in here with my two co-hosts. Let's start with the OG of the show. My guy's been with me since day one. I call him the only Sacramento Kings fan that I know. What's good, Spurs? How are you this morning?
Man, I'm excited for this weekend's football, and there's been a lot of line moves that confused me a little bit, so I can't wait till we dive into some NFL previews.
And, of course, we got the YG of the show, the youngest man to ever run a casino sportsbook on the Las Vegas Strip, my brother from another. What's good, Casino Royale?
Wow, what's up, Five Star? What's good, Waging Rose? What's up, Spread? I'm excited for this weekend. You know, I got to redeem myself from last show, but if you follow me on Twitter, you know, you got you some good winners. So you got to play both sides, man. Follow us on Twitter. Listen to the show. I promise we'll end up winning. That's just how it goes.
Yeah, we're the type of guys that if we don't hit the ball in parlay, we take it personal. So if you watch and follow, make sure you guys follow at Casino Royale. Yeah, you already got like 200,000 followers. You follow Casino Royale, man, you'll see, he puts up a lot of free plays for you guys, man. I get on his roll sometimes. I'll be texting you sometimes. Stop giving out all these free plays.
And then you winning, you getting them all this free money. Shout out, man. I'm on a free play run, a 7-2 free play run plus 12 units, something like that. So come on. We got him. Let's go. We the Wager World, baby.
This the Wager World. This week, you guys hit that like button right now before we get into the past real quick. Any baseball scene? I know you're a baseball guy. You've been watching the MLB.
Hey, man, look, we had the Guardians yesterday. That was a hell of a play they did. I'm seeing what the MLB doing. Right now, they will definitely want I thought it was going to be the Mets and the Padres. Nope, we know who it's going to be. Big Bad Judge, Big Bat Shohei. That's what they want. It's entertainment. Everybody going to watch it. The people love Shohei. The people love Judge. They all want to see who's the best. These guys are hitting home runs. They're changing the game of baseball. Like, first bats, like, just out the park. It's unbelievable. So, I think that's what we're going to see, man. Yankees and the Dodgers, Five Star. I know you're not a fan of that series, but that's what it's going to be. I just been enjoying the game tonight. This weekend, Five Star, I'm with you out of football. Let's go.
What about you, Spread? You been peeking at any baseball?
I've had it on a couple nights, but not a lot of opinions there.
You like me, Spread. You had baseball played in the back just for to give you like a little, like serenity.
It's you know, nice and relaxing. Calm. And I root against the Yankees and the Dodgers, but that ain't gone well so far. Guardians had a couple opportunities the other night, couldn't get it done. We'll see. But like Sino said, it seemed like they heading for this New York versus LA deal. And
you won't.
I know some people like it. It's not for me.
You won't watch it. I won't watch it. Most of the nation won't watch it. They're going to skew the numbers because we got large metropolises in New York and L.A. that, of course, are going to watch it. But outside of those two cities, which are a large population of the United States, we're not going to get a lot of viewership. This is not going to get the fans interested at all because fans in MLB are used to having at least one, you know, underdog story or have the Astros to hate. These are two teams that everybody knows that they want to market, pushing their face. And this is 2024, as we see with the political atmosphere of the world. People aren't as blind as they used to be. They can see what's going on as far as and when they're trying to get the wool pulled over their eyes, man. And people know that they've been pushing this Dodgers and Yankees all year. I don't think it's going to be a really popular World Series because, you know, no one likes to watch the favorites play each other. Everybody wants to see someone else get in there sometimes. Great game, though, last night, Guardians game. That was unbelievable. With
great game.
Home run by, I think.
They was.
Judge took the lead, right? He tied it. And then
Stanton took the lead
with a back-to-back jack. That's the ninth, the top of the ninth. And here comes Noel. I've been on that kid all year. I like him a lot. He just got called up this year. Big bat. You know, big bat. Kind of reminds you, Semov Alvarez or Jordan, he can hit with power like Jordan is in his a good of a, you know, just a hitter like Jordan. Jordan is different because he got power, and then he also can hit to our field. So that makes Jordan just a different type of beast. But Astros took a year off. We'll be back next year. You guys enjoy your fun this year while you can. But, man, the Saints.
Man, come on, man.
Let's jump right into the past, Brad.
Pretty happy to get my little head-to-head with Sino there. Got the victory. Unfortunately for viewers of that game, it was not an exciting game here. And the Saints are just so beat up right now. None of us really like their head coach either, so they're not the type, right? Like with Harbaugh, they can get through the injuries. You know, even Peyton, but Dennis Allen's just not that guy. And I still think that Clint Kubiak's got a great future. However, he had absolutely nothing to work with last night as they're on a backup quarterback. They're missing their two top wide receivers, and they're missing three of their five starting offensive linemen from the beginning of the year. So, you know, at certain points, especially now, the NFL's a war of attrition, and the New Orleans Saints are losers in that war of attrition, and they'll probably be looking forward to making a top pick at the end of the season this year.
Yeah, after pride comes the fall, because the worst thing that Dennis Allen did all year besides sucking, he sucked for 2-3 years. So this isn't anything new to people who follow the Saints. We just were more surprised as Saints fans that they were playing as good as they were the first couple of weeks. Like, it was so surprising. But as you see, it didn't last long. It was fool's gold.
That was voodoo.
Yeah. And then D.A. had the nerve to say after that Cowboys game, sometimes you got to pop up and show them. After that, I knew it was over with because, you know anything about Kendrick Lamar. You try to be out hip and stuff. You try to be someone you're not. Be authentic, man. Come on, man. And now the chickens are coming home to roost. We've been calling for D.A. to be out and D.C. to be out. That's Derek Carr and Dennis Allen. If you're in the Saints fan base, you know what those initials mean. We've been wanting those two guys out the building for a couple years now. And when they initially signed Derek Carr, I told you guys, man, I'm not messing with the Saints. The Texans have catapulted them as my number one team because they actually have a chance. I'm not backing any team with Derek Carr. Humility is very important, guys. Humility is the key to what we do on the Wager World with sports betting. We don't get too up. We don't get too down. We don't brag too much when we have a good week. We're too hard on ourselves when we have a bad week because at the end of the day, if you put in the work, the results are going to come, man. You're going to get the results. We work our ass off, all three of us, on this and been doing it for a long time. You see quarterbacks like Lamar, quarterbacks like Mahomes, C.J. Stroud, the great Tom Brady. They all have one trait, that's humility. They're all team first guys. They're always at the podium talking about the other players. They're always taking, you know, accountability for things that happen, even when it's not their fault. So that's something that I hope Shador works on as he heads to the league, which I think he will, you know, being more responsible. There's nothing wrong with being confident, but you don't want to be arrogant because, as I said, after pride comes to fall, and, man, Dennis Allen, you got too cocky, man. You're supposed to just stay level-headed and understood that anything could happen. And the next week, you get all these injuries. Your team's getting blown out. You look like you were going to keep your job. Now your job is most likely already finished. You get embarrassed last night by your predecessor, Sean Payton. I'm just glad I cashed over 37. Ski was texting me during the game. I told him, man, I'm betting college football. I won big on first half, Marshall, -5.5, and I won big on Virginia Tech. -4.5 first half, and for the game, -7, which we gave out on the show. So we did pretty good, but I also gave out the over 37 on here and on Jay Money Show. So I'm glad that was able to cash for everyone, but I didn't watch it. I watched like the first quarter. After I saw that play with Rattler, when it didn't count, he was knocked over and fumbled and was going there. I said, I'm through with this guy. I didn't watch another one.
It was all BS, man. But when Sean Payton stepped in the building 6 hours before he was supposed to, I'm like, oh yeah, they about to have the business. And how you say 5-star, he wasn't a fan of humility. For them to get blown out like that, like they took the lead, then got blown out. What are y'all doing? I think I was looking at the numbers. You know, I'm a numbers guy. Sean Payton, in his whole time coaching New Orleans Saints, 2 games at home, he only lost by 20 or more points. Just think about that. Like, and they got blown out by 20 more points in these last, 5 games that they didn't play in the last 2 seasons. This team is, I don't know. Like you said, Dennis Allen needs some shaking up.
They might need to try. What do you think about this, Fred? Mickey Loomis, try something new, man. Clint Kubiak, make him the head coach. See if he's the guy. See what kind of response you get from the team. Make Clint Kubiak the coach. Go on and move off of D.A.
If I was Kubiak, I wouldn't accept the job.
Well, I'm saying just now is the interim. He has no choice. He's the offensive coordinator.
I mean, if they go to you, he only been an offensive coordinator for what, 5 weeks?
So what? We need a new.
He need experience. I think he needs experience, and I don't really think the Saints. I think it's bad luck. They got so injured. That team we saw in the first 2 weeks is not what we saw. These are different players on the field.
Olave,
we have Chris Olave, who's top 10, top 20 wide receiver, right? We talked about how good Shaheed looked moving down the field. They're both off the field. But I think they really got hurt is the offensive line, because all that was being set up on the run, and we talked about Kubiak running the Shanahan tree, using Kamara to get involved. They can't run block right now. So, and at this point of his career, right, Kamara's not going to create. He's not going to be Barry Sanders dancing behind the line, making things happen with bad running. So, I don't know. If I was Kubiak, I would just try to keep calling plays. And I don't know. I don't know if I would take it. I think he needs more. He only been offensive coordinator for 5 games. I think some of the problems, we put some of these coordinators too fast. Even McDaniels down in Miami, I think he could have done more with some more time. I think that's what Ben Johnson realized, too, when he turned down that Washington job. You know what?
Yeah.
Think about when we grew up. None of these guys were head coaches under 40. I remember John Gruden was the first one ever, and that seemed crazy at the time.
John Madden was.
Oh, okay. Going back to the old. Yeah.
John Madden was the first.
I remember even when they hired Gruden, it seemed crazy that they'd have someone under 40 be a head coach. Yeah. So,
and they said the reason they did that is because Al Davis was known for bringing in younger coaches, because he himself was a young coach. But his first young hire was John Madden, and then he did it again with Gruden, and then later on with Dennis Allen, which didn't work as well. I think Dennis Allen might have been like 31 as the coach over there or something like that. Crazy. I think Lane Kiffin was the coach for the Raiders too, right?
Yeah. And that didn't go well. That was one of the famous press conferences when he fired him. And it's like 2006, and Al Davis is sitting there with an overhead projector like it's 1985. Remember them? Cino don't remember. You remember,
no,
them projectors they used to use at school?
Yeah.
Davis had one of those in 2006. Everyone going, man, what's going on?
No PowerPoint.
It was like hitting him up. He trashed everyone. He trashed Lombardi. He trashed Lane Kiffin. I mean, Al Davis went off in that press conference. If you find it, it's actually pretty fun to watch.
We talking a lot about the Raiders, and looks great representing the Raiders today. Shout out Las Vegas. Five star. What you think about Tom Brady? It's finally official, man. He's part of the Las Vegas Raiders.
Raiders. Future's looking up. The Saints is looking down. Last thing about the Saints, they're in for some real lean years. It's about to be some paper bags back on the faces, because the team is old, man. Kamara's about to be gone. DeMario Davis is going to be gone. Cam Jordan's going to end up having to go somewhere to try to steal a championship before he leaves, because he's that type of dude. Or he might just go into media full time, because he's also really good at podcasts and at also covering games. So I just think the Saints are in for some lean years. Lattimore's about to be gone. Matthew's about to be gone. They're about to be one of the worst teams and worst franchises again in the league after so many good years under Sean Payton. Raiders are looking up. Just got TB in the building. I heard he built a house down the street from him in Sumlin. So I got him over here. I got Marky Mark over here as well. I may about see Tom Brady at Albertsons or something and try to get him on the waging world, but it's good to have him in the building. I've heard he's already talking about trying to get Belichick to replace Antonio Pierce. I don't know if that happens. We'll see. But I know one thing that I took from him receiving the ownership bid and becoming one of the minority owners in the group. Remember his relationship with Shedeur Sanders. I've been talking to Spread about that on and off the air. I think that things are working. I was the first one to say that about this Shedeur Sanders. Was coming to the Raiders, and then Mark Davis was a fan of his. And somehow, like most of the information we give out on here, a couple days later, somebody else is trying to release it with a bigger platform, someone in the media. It's okay. You know, we don't do this to try to be honored. We do this to give out information, man, to you guys. But I think that now things are churning really well for the Raiders, for them to end up getting Shedeur Sanders. He'll be there with his mentor, his Uncle Tom, which they're really close. He'll be in the building, able to go out on the practice field with him and help him out. And I think the Raiders are in a really good position. If they get Belichick as the coach and they got Shedeur as the quarterback.
Over with you. It's a no-brainer right there. And again, Shedeur, man, he come to a city like this, man, is fresh. refresh in Las Vegas. A whole lot of new casinos. Just they repainting the town, basically, man. It's big city, bright lights. He'd definitely be a good fit. And when he get here, I say within 5 years, he get him a ring.
They don't have him all over the billboards.
Oh, everywhere. Bro, this Las Vegas. People don't understand it, man. It's the city of the bright lights. It's, they about to get a championship in Allegiant Stadium real, real soon. Trust me.
Definitely.
Yeah, well, I hope you guys are right. And we will see what happens, because I know, just like the Saints, the rest of the year is kind of looking bleak for the Raiders.
Let's make a deal, Spread. And you have to talk to my girl, your girlfriend, and let her know that I made this deal with you. So she has to come, too. If the Raiders draft Shedeur Sanders, you and her move to Vegas.
Move? I don't know if I can get her to move.
Your first month's lease. If Shedeur Sanders is drafted by the Raiders, I'll go dig into the Fidelity account, get penalized, and make a payment down for my boy, because that's my guy, one of my best friends in the world. I want to see him out here in Vegas with me, man. So let's make a deal. You got to go talk to her first. We'll confirm it later.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be able to pull that off, but we'll see. We'll talk about it later.
He doesn't like Vegas that much, Fred.
Well, I'll tell you about that one, the rest of it off the air. But
okay. This town's different, man.
Enough about Spread's love life. Back to the gridiron.
Yeah, let's talk about the Virginia Tech Hokies, five-star. They get the cover against Boston College. What did you see in that one?
Just another great game by Kyron Drones. I tweeted yesterday, Kyron Drones is going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL for somebody, because his comp is Jalen Hurts. They got exactly the same similar game from the same part of the world, because Drones is from the H2. He's a Houston boy, too. Yeah. And strong, powerful guy, better passing than you think, really a good leader. I'm so glad that Brent Pry is finally letting these boys loose. Man, Virginia Tech got a squad. Them boys should not have lost the games that they've lost this year. Now that we look back, though, Vanderbilt wasn't a bad team that they lost to. But they had that game under control and should have won it. They let Vanderbilt fight back like they've been doing all year, because they're going to do that with a leader like Diago Pavia. Diago Pavia deserves an invite to New York, man. That kid is something else that came over from New Mexico State and went to Vandy, man. Vandy's balling. So I don't look at Virginia Tech's loss that bad. I think Virginia Tech are really one of the better teams in the country. If they can figure out some type of way to get back in the hunt in the ACC, they will be problems if they can get in the playoffs. Right now they got two losses, so it's going to be a little bit difficult, but we'll see. So,
seeing that one, so you know.
Hey, and he broke it down real, real good. And last game, we said the same thing. Kyron Drones, we gave it out same time. And I gave him out on Twitter with the Blackhawks money line. That was free. And I had him as a max bet -8 with the VIP group. That was so, so easy. Mm. And I think we've seen the best game, like the best complete game from Virginia Tech this weekend. Like they played a good team, and they beat them soundly. So
always bet Virginia Tech. Remember this, guys. We give tidbits all the time. Keep this one in your notes. Always bet Virginia Tech during October on Friday and Thursday nights. They always come to show up because for some reason Halloween's a big thing around their school. Maybe it's because their school colors or whatever, but they always beat ass in October on Thursday night and Friday nights.
All right, five. So I was disappointed in the Sam Houston game. I knew we were in trouble at the end of the second quarter when we lost the starting quarterback there, and it was too much for the Bearcats to overcome. The only other thing I had on that game is I had never seen a Bearcat before, and I Googled them. That's a crazy-looking animal.
It's a real animal. Yeah. It's a real animal. Yeah,
and it's like animal. A cat, but it's all big.
Yeah, it's a real animal. And I don't know if it's in somewhere hiding in the prisons in Huntsville somewhere, but I never seen one personally.
But, man,
as far as that game, I bet it live. Remember I told you I leaned them, but I didn't put in a bet because I just wanted to see how I was looking at first, and I'm glad I waited because what happened is West Kentucky flies down the field on the first drive and scores. After they score, I jumped in live first half and got +3.5. So I was able to cash on the three, but at halftime, I didn't touch the game anymore because I saw where it was going. Be honest, man, Tyson Helton did a really good job with quarterback for West Kentucky. He looks completely different than he's looked in the prior weeks. He looked really confident during that game. But I didn't realize that kid has the type of size that he has. He's a pretty big kid. Like, he's about 6'5". He can move. He was throwing some darts to people. So West Kentucky with a really good performance. Sam Houston, we're not going to put too much into that L because, as you said, their star quarterback got hurt. I mean, he's the whole team. He's does everything for them on the ground, and they run a type of offense where they really utilize him rushing, so they were really hurt without having him in the game. What you think about it, Cino?
That's what it was. Hunter Watson, he the star player of the team. He was 6-for-9, what, for 128 yards? He threw two touchdowns in the first half.
Yeah.
You go in the second half, what you expect? Like, you can't handicap quarterbacks getting hurt and stuff like that. And trust me, if he played the full game, that would have been a win on our side.
Yeah, so we don't count that L against Cino at all. Those are one of those type of things, guys. That's why we always stress on the Wager World. If you're going to bet these games, watch these games. Because if you just look at the box score at the box end, score. You just think, oh, they lost. No, man, it's a story going on in between the lines. And if you watch it, you can understand what happened. And you knew maybe I need to go live now about this game because the starting quarterback is hurt. So we can't do anything. I feel like it was still the right handicap.
Most definitely.
All right. Talk to me about UTEP 5-star. I did not watch that one at all.
Man, last minute, me and Ski texted back and forth. I'm like, man, I hate betting sorry teams, but I know the UTEP's going to probably win this game. He was like, one of my guys from the back, because he watched the show. He was missing me. He's like, one of my guys from the back just gave me some info. He said, man, take UTEP. It's a go. There's a lot of people on the other side. I said, well, they're going to win money line. And sure enough, they did. I sent the picture to Ski. I took first half on them +4, and I also had +162, and then I had +400 for the game. Ended up working out right for them. It was scary because the first drive, FIU went right down, but we had the same type of thing that went against us in the prior game benefit us in this one with FIU's quarterback going down. He gets hurt. They end up having to come in with a backup, and that's when I started firing off live on this game on different money line numbers, because I already told you guys, UTEP was a scrappy team, even though they hadn't won a game. They played really hard, man, and they got some good players. They just needed a quarterback that could make some completions, and we got a good game from McConnell finally. Their defense stepped up, man. Some really big interceptions that they made in that game, and I'm congratulations to everyone in El Paso for getting your first win. I'm glad I was able to ride with you guys in cash.
All right, let's move to the present because we got plenty of college football to talk about. The first game I want to ask you about, 5-star, Nebraska at Indiana. Indiana laying 6.5. You like the Hoosiers here?
Oh, yeah, I love the Hoosiers in this game. Man, week 8 is going to be a magical week in college football. There's some really great matchups, guys, so we're going to really enjoy it. And most of all, we're going to win some money. Indiana has Kurt Cignetti. That's my guy. He was my guy, James Madison. I don't know how long he's going to stay at Indiana because he's a big-time coach. I'm sure that some major school is going to try to reach out to him and get him. Sharon Moore better be careful that they don't try to play him in Michigan. I hope they don't. I hope they give him a shot and, you know, don't sell him out, because Kurt Cignetti, I could see him very much running that Michigan University football team and putting him in a position to be dominant again. He's that type of coach. He's that good. Indiana is second in the FBS in scoring. They average 47.5 points a game. They're fourth in total yards, 515.7 yards a game. That's just unbelievable. Just a really smooth offense. Waging World vets know how long, you know, and spread of I've been talking about the Rourke brothers, you know, Curtis Rourke and his brother Nathan Rourke. So now Curtis Rourke somehow leaves Ohio and follows Cignetti to Indiana, and he's blessed the Bloomington crowd, man. Now, 74% of his passes complete, 14 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Even more important, their defense is amazing. They're allowing less than 15 points per game, 19 sacks. I know the baby Mahomes thinks that he's the real deal, but he has a lot of more growing up to do. Dylan Raiola, you're still a freshman. You can, you know, imitate Mahomes all you want, but you're not him. You're not Patrick Mahomes. And I think that Matt Rule is a really, really good coach. I just think that he doesn't have the team yet. He has the defense, but offensively, they aren't good enough to keep up with this powerhouse that Indiana has. That's going to be one of my bigger plays. You guys do not jake me. If you're riding with me, let's get some positive energy. This is a well play. I played it for a huge amount of money. We're going with Indiana -6.5.
All right, we're taking the Hoosiers there. Any thoughts on that one, Cino?
Nope, I love what 5-star talking about.
All right, let me put that one in right now. And let's start breaking down Michigan, the Wolverines, heading to Illinois, -3.5. You know what, Cino? It's your team. We got to start with you. Is this another one, or do we need to be a little discreet here?
I don't know. We might have to be discreet right here. It's just, you know, in these situations, for real, you know how I am. Might have to be a little discreet right here in these situations, man.
See, don't be discreet because he know this ain't the year to bro with his Michigan Wolverines. We done made a lot of money with him. We made a lot of money with him, man. But this week, they're a no-go, man. Illinois is a good team. Luke Altmyer is the better quarterback in this. We always going to bet the better quarterback, the better coach. Unfortunately for Sharon Moore right now, he's going through growing pains. Man, Harbaugh messed over him. You're going to do the first brother to coach that team like that, man, and not go recruit anybody. Like, he does this every time. He just leaves the cupboard dry. Like, I don't know if he's trying to make sure that the guy after him looks bad or what, but he did the same thing at Stanford. You have to go and get more players and think about the future. If you're here as a coach, you can't just put everything into one season. We've seen this before. It never works in anything. Like with the Rams, long term, they won a Super Bowl, but now how are the Rams? So I don't know why Jim Harbaugh didn't recruit a good quarterback. I don't know why a good quarterback didn't want to play for him, but maybe it's just who he is, because if you think about it, J.J. McCarthy was the only guy who really stuck. Everyone else that he tried to go and grab and recruit to come play there, they weren't as good as he thought they were when they came and, you know, put on the maize and blue. But as far as this game, Illinois hasn't beat Michigan since 2009. They're going to be hyped for this game. I'm not trusting Tuttle. Jack Tuttle is going to be the quarterback this week for Michigan. Michigan can't throw the ball, man. They got all these good players who can't get the ball in their hands. I think that their defense is really good, but they're going to get frustrated, man. It's only so much you could do stopping teams over and over and over and over, and then no points are getting put up by your offense. I like Illinois in this spot a lot, especially with the fact that they gave up 23 points in the fourth quarter last week. So Brett Bielema is a defensive first guy. I know he's upset, and he's probably all on the line now about how they let down in the second half, and I expect a really – really dominant performance by Illinois at home. I think they're going to be really hype out there and expect the Illini fans to run on the field after this one. I think Illinois could pull the outright in this one.
Yeah, and five star, I was going to try to keep this one to myself. That's why I was, you know, keeping it on the hush, but I'm kind of, you know, suspect by Tuttle like you. And he had a bye week, so everybody's saying him with the bye week, you know, they got a chance to, you know, get the offense a little bit more working. I don't know. This is going to be a stay away for me. But if five star, you like the other side? I'm with you.
I already gave it out. So, you know, so it's already public information. It's one of the ones I bet pretty big too, but I gave it out on ESPN 97.5 this morning. So since I gave it out, you know, it's already public information. Cool, you know, we're going to stand on it. So I just like Illinois, man. This went up to 4, actually. So now it's even a better spot for me. I just like quarterbacks, man. And Illinois' quarterback's been really good this year.
All right. Let's talk about Jalen Milroe and the Alabama Crimson Tide. They take on Tennessee this week, coming off not the most inspiring performance last weekend. How do you think they fare against the Volunteers, five-star?
This is a weird, weird game because Tennessee has not looked right on offense in the last couple weeks, man. But Josh Heupel, what does he do? Offense, that's his thing. That's his side of the ball. He was a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback at Oklahoma. Did the best job of Tennessee in years since probably what's the guy named? Johnny Majors or somebody was their coach. Tennessee had been down before that. No, I'm sorry. They were pretty good when Peyton Manning was there, too. I forgot the coach that was the coach then there. He's still a part of the program. He was a good coach, too, as well, with T. Martin and all of those fellas. They were pretty good then as well. But they've had some down years, and Heupel did a really good job of bringing them back to, you know, prominence again. This is the game they've been waiting for all year. You know, they've been waiting to play Alabama. That's their biggest rivalry. I don't know how big of a rivalry it is to Alabama. It's a big rival to Tennessee, at least, though. But last time that they came to Tennessee, they lost. And, you know, a really high-scoring game, 52-49. The last three times these teams have played, it's went over. I don't expect anything different this time. Even though Tennessee has struggled on offense, they didn't look that good on offense last week against Florida. I still think that Alabama's defense is really suspect, man. And, you know, they haven't been good all year. Teams have been putting points up on them. The way South Carolina put up points on them, South Carolina should not be scoring that type of points on Alabama. Vanderbilt should not have been able to control the ball and run 4-minute offense at the end of the game when Alabama can't get them off the field. So it's some real problems with that defense. We know that Kalen DeBoer is more offensive-minded coach. Maybe he needs to think about hiring a different DC over there, because we know Alabama's going to put up points. Like, we know that they got those spectacular young receivers on the outside. They got my guy, the Houston Miro, so they're going to put up points. I lean the over. I'm not going to be on the side on this game. They always go over in these SEC games when it's the two best teams, just because they have fireworks, you know, on offense. So I think that both these coaches come with really good offensive game plans, and I look to the over on this game for sure. What is it right now? What's the over? 57?
57. And I got Tennessee at plus three now.
Yeah, I like over 57 for sure on that game.
Casino like the plus three in this game, because I just think it's hard to win right now. SEC road games, that shit hard to win. So going to somebody's house and win that. Again, Five Star been telling me to watch the games, and I've been watching. What my eyes been seeing from Alabama in these past few games, y'all not about to go into Tennessee and win. This is a whole new era. Nick Saban out in there, and like he said, Kalen DeBoer, offensive mind first. That defense, they took a few steps back since Saban left out the building. So I like Tennessee with the points. Matter of fact, we're going to make that an official play for Sino. Tennessee plus three. Let's go.
Oh, we adding one on the show. Tennessee plus three. Love to see it. All right. Next up, your guys' squad, LSU, the Tigers, taking on the Razorbacks. We just talked about it. Tough to be and win on the road. Is this going to apply here, Stino? No, LSU?
No, it won't. Why? Because LSU just got a win that they wasn't supposed to win. It was going to be one of the hardest games in their schedule, and I think the rest of the schedule they about to just ease through. Like, who else gonna beat them? It's that simple. LSU, that smile looking good. They got it figured out. They ready to play.
What do you think, Five Star?
Arkansas is decent. You know, they just beat Tennessee at Arkansas. Low scoring game. I really like the defensive coordinator for Arkansas. He's good. I just can't trust Taylen Green to put up enough offensive points to beat LSU, because LSU is really a good offensive team. Nussmeier, he does it a different way than Jay Daniels, but at the end of the day, he still puts up the points and gets it done, you know? And we already know their receivers are amazing, man. You know, I'm a big fan of my guy, Kyren Lacy. He's going to be the next big NFL receiver that hits the NFL and does his thing, you know? I have no doubt about that. I just don't see LSU losing this game. I think LSU turned the corner. They were upset by USC in Vegas because they weren't ready. We know Brian Kelly struggles early in the year, but what we've always noticed about Brian Kelly is the teams get better as the year goes. They get better as the year goes. And watch for LSU. I keep telling people, LSU is the only team as talented as Texas. A lot of people don't believe me when I say that. But if you look 1 through 11 on both sides of the ball, LSU is one of the few teams that can match up with Texas. Now, do they get a chance to face off? Maybe so. We'll see. I think they're on different sides of the SEC, so it will be in the SEC championship, if I'm mistaken. Please forgive me, because, the conference is so big now, I don't know how they've lined it up. I don't worry about that. I worry about the games and winning money. But LSU is a real threat in the playoffs. Believe that. We've been saying that all year. They just was slipping at USC. First game of the year, Brian Kelly playing around like he always does. Made some bad mistakes. Didn't keep feeding Kyren Lacy, or they would be undefeated right now. But I think LSU goes to Arkansas and handles their business. Arkansas, once again, good team, just not efficient enough on offense, I think, to get it done. LSU has won 7 of the last 3 matchups against Arkansas, and I think that continues. They haven't lost in Fayetteville in a really long time, since 2014. So it's been 10 years since LSU lost in Fayetteville, and I don't think anything changes this week. This is a big game to LSU. This is one of those real SEC rivalries. I think LSU gets it done. I'll be on LSU money line as an official play.
All right, LSU money line. But the biggest game of the weekend is Georgia taking on number one Texas. The market loves Texas. This was 3.5 when we recorded on Wednesday. They've taken 1.5 with no injury move at all. Money is coming in on Texas. Five Star, what do you make of these market moves?
Now, I don't care if the money's on Texas or not. Texas is the better team. I bet this game before the season started, and I got Texas plus one. Remember when we were talking about this game at the beginning of the year? Texas has been waiting on this game. The only thing I worry about, I did get some information that Quinn Ewers got a shot before last game and that his shoulder was still bothering him somewhat. You remember, I didn't like how he played against Oklahoma. He didn't look as, you know, sharp as he usually does. We need a sharp Quinn Ewers to get this one done because Arch Manning isn't ready to beat Georgia. So as long as Quinn Ewers plays the full game, as long as Quinn Ewers is himself, I don't think that Georgia has a chance. Carson Beck just isn't the guy that he was last year. He had a better surrounding cast last year. And Georgia just isn't clicking on offense enough for me to stay with Texas. I think that Texas is a far superior offensive team and defensive team this year. And they're going to give Georgia some real issues. I'll be playing this one first half, University of Texas -3.
What do you think, Sino?
It's a no-brainer. Longhorns short, no sign of weakness. They got the nation's best defense. They beat every team they play by, 19 or more points. They went to Michigan in the big house and beat them. Like, come on now. And like how you said, Carson Beck, he not looking how he once was. That first-round draft pick, that's out the window. So I'm with Big Brother on this one, Texas. Let's go.
All right, let's move to Sunday because we got a lot to talk about. The Lions are taking money, 5-star. I think my main hesitation and why I haven't jumped in on Detroit here is the loss of Aiden Hutchinson. He's been a top 5 defensive player this year, arguably a defensive player of the year candidate, and I think that's a huge loss for the Lions. The Vikings continue to be underrated because nobody likes their quarterback, but they're arguably the best defense in the league. Two good defenses, total 50.5. What do you think of this one there, 5-star?
I'm not betting against Minnesota at home. I saw what they did to the Texans, and I think that the Texans on a neutral field against the Lions, it's probably a pick-up, maybe a Texans -1. I liked this Minnesota team, man, ever since the season started and I saw them play. Remember, before the season, we were not high on them. We weren't even paying them attention when we were breaking down the NFC North. But now you got to adjust to new information, and they look really good. The thing that I like most about this, they're coming off a bye with two really sharp coaches. They know that this is a huge division game because they know they're not going to most likely win in Detroit. So you have to get a split with the Lions in order to win that division. Also, they did not look good in London. The offense was not clicking as it had been all year for Minnesota. I think O'Connell makes some adjustments. I think Justin Jefferson realizes this is a huge game, and I think he really comes to play in this one. We'll see a better version of Sam Darnold. Also, that Minnesota defense, they've been good all year, man. You know, people are sleeping on the Vikings just because this is a brand new year and they weren't looked at as one of the top teams. Kansas City, of course, is one, and I got Baltimore #2. I got 3 Vikings, and then 4A and 4B will be the Lions and the Texans, man. But I think those five teams are pretty good right up there, you know, the top teams. You go to #5 spot somewhere between Green Bay and Frisco, and there's a couple teams that can get in that situation right there that are pretty good. But as far as in this game, I just like Minnesota's home field advantage. I like that they're coming off a bye. I like that the entire world thinks that the Lions are going to go there and just beat them easily because the Lions have beaten them the last 3 times. Jared Goff has small hands. We got to always remember that. And when he's pressured, he's not the same type of quarterback that he is when he has a clean pocket. I think the Vikings can turn him over a couple times. And I think that home field advantage, that skull, is enough to get it done for us. I'm on the Vikings, man, money line.
Yeah, this is one of the ones where seeing all those tickets comes in on the Lions make me like the Vikings a little more. Sino, I think that one thing that the public or the people betting the Lions right now are failing to take into account is the Vikings' success against the run so far defensively this year. I don't like Detroit if they can't establish that run. To be fair, this will be the toughest offensive line they face so far. To me, that's a key matchup, Sino. Will Detroit be able to run the ball? If they can't, it might be another Vikings blowout. What do you see here?
You know exactly how I feel about teams running the ball. But all I'm going to say is this. Big Meech home. Big Meech home. First game, Detroit playing. Big Meech home. Simple as that.
Big Meech lives in Atlanta, man. He don't live in Detroit no more.
Man, it don't matter. It don't matter, man. Meech still part of Detroit with his legacy. Detroit, we understand that. Look, the Lions 8-0 against the spread since November 22 as a dog when the total is set to at least 44. Man, we are on the Detroit Lions. +2.5, +3, or whatever number you can get. That's what we on.
All right. So we're opposite on that one.
Seeing one opposite there.
Minnesota on that one.
All right, we'll look forward to breaking that one down next week and see where it lands. Another one where five-star feels like everybody on the same side. Why does everyone think the Packers are such a slam dunk here? I don't get it. I haven't heard anyone give out the Texans yet. Isn't this team 5-1? Maybe my eyes are bad. Do I need my reading glasses? Texans are 5-1, right?
Yeah.
Everyone thinks the Packers going to beat them.
Yeah.
Break this one down for me. I'm a little shocked that this isn't more even in the breakdowns.
Man, the Texans are a better team than the Packers. Only thing that I worry about this morning, Lance Zierlein and I were talking about this game, and he was saying Jimmy Ward is most likely out. So that's huge because he's a really good safety for the Texans. And then he also said that Alizier might be out as well. And he's their best linebacker, too. So they're going to need those guys. I don't know if Christian Harris is back this week. I think he's off the IR. So maybe Christian Harris for the Texans does play this week. I hope so. I just like D'Amico Ryans, man. You know I'm a big fan of Matt LaFleur as well. I don't think it's a good look for Green Bay to wear the jerseys that they're wearing at home. I know it sounds crazy. But I just feel like you keep a tradition in your green and golds. That all white is going to end up costing them. I think that the Texans win this game money line because as long as the public is on the other side, that means C.J. Stroud can play. And if he can play, you're in trouble, man. Their offense is too potent. And I think that Nico being out kind of benefits them because now they can get Tank Dell involved, man, and kind of spread the ball out a little bit. The key to the Texans offense, and you know I've said this since day one, Joe Mixon. If Joe Mixon is playing, which he is, they're going to be able to control the game and control the tempo of the game. The Packers aren't going to be able to get the Texans off the field. Whereas in the Texans will be able to stop the Packers a couple times. One thing to watch, though, like I said, those guys are out for the Texans. The Packers, you know, they lead the whole league in running the ball, and those are real pure running stats because there's no Lamar Jackson over there adding yards on the scramble. Jordan Love doesn't run a lot. He can, but he doesn't. So watch that. They're going to have to stop the run for the Texans. Everyone's saying over 46 on this game. I don't know if it's going to be as, you know, high scoring as people think because I think that the Texans are going to try to kind of game manage this game and keep the ball out the Packers' hands and kind of lean to their defense and make plays when necessary. But I do like the Texans in this game. I think the Texans are a better roster and a better team. It's just that, you know, everyone loves the Packers. I love them. I got a ticket on to win the NFC, but the AFC is much better than the NFC this year. So if you got two of the top teams from each conference, I'm always going to take the AFC. So I'm on the Texans on this one.
Cino, what do you think about this game?
Five-star made a lot of key points, man. Houston defense struggling. And like you said, the Packers, they rank top five in the league rushing. So, and they'll have a linebacker right now. So I think they will struggle against the run. I think they keep it close, but the Packers, they always cover at home, man. It's going to be hard to go in line, boy, and win. Shout out to CJ Stroud and what they're doing. I'm on the other side on this one.
All right. Another one. We're going 50-50 here. So we'll see how this one goes. I'm kind of with you, five star. If I'm gonna play this game, why not just not play the Texans money line? It feels like a coin flip to me, and I'm getting plus money.
Yeah. And the Packers don't have a kicker. That's gonna come in really important. They just signed the guy that used to kick for the Broncos, but he was on the streets. But their kicker before him, he was horrible. Whereas the Texans have a really good kicker in Fairburn. We don't consider special teams like we need to, and Texans have a clear advantage on special teams. Another thing, Green Bay leads the league in penalties on defense. Expect a lot of EPIs.
All right. We'll see how that one plays out, but obviously a game that we'll all be looking forward to watching. Another one, maybe not as much playoff implications here, but it should be fun. The Seattle Seahawks heading down to Atlanta to take on the Falcons. I was all over the Falcons here, but I'm thinking the Seahawks might be getting some of their players back on defense. If Tariq Woolen's back out there, their defensive line gets beefed up a little bit. Maybe Seattle's a little bit underrated because I talked about the Saints earlier and how much the injuries affected that team, and I feel the same thing happened with that Seattle Seahawks defense. They looked really good at the beginning of the season. They lose like six players out of their starting 11. Now they're all starting to come back. If Seattle's got their full defense, maybe they can cover here. I'm not involved in this one yet. Five star, did you make a bet on this game?
Man, I'm really torn on this game. Jay Money really likes Seattle in this game. A lot of people that I'm hearing like Seattle, and I do somewhat. I got to let the market kind of pan out a little bit on this one. I do know that the Seattle is getting back a lot of their defensive players, as you said. Their defense allowed just 14 points a game the first 3 weeks. Since then, they're allowing 36 points a week. Yeah. That's not a good form to go into Atlanta messing with Kirk Cousins, because Kirk Cousins and those receivers can put up some points. Like, we're seeing now that the offense for Atlanta is very versatile, and they're getting better and better. Zach Robinson, the former assistant coach for the Rams, is over there doing a really good job with his boy Raheem Morris, and he's saving the day. It's funny because both of these teams have defensive coaches as head coaches that were put in place because of their prowess on the defensive side, and neither one of them are playing good on defense, you know. So now McDonald has his guys back. Maybe he can, you know, make some adjustments and get back to the type of defense that we were expecting out of Seahawks when I took them to win the NFC West for plus 420 preseason. But the Falcons they've been a big surprise to me. I really like their offense. I knew Kirk Cousins was good, but now that he's getting settled and coming back from that injury and getting his feet up under him, he's looking really good as each week passes. And I just don't know how Seattle slows them down. They haven't shown me anything yet to show that they can slow them down. But also, how do the Falcons slow down Seattle? DK Metcalf have a huge advantage on the outside against those guys. It's really small corners over there at Atlanta. So might go over on this one. I think over 51 probably would be the look for me.
I wouldn't be surprised to see a high-scoring game here. Sino, I think what really we need to look at is that injury report, see how many of the Seahawks defensive players coming back. Tariq Woolen could potentially make it a tough day for Drake London. What are you seeing in this game, Sino?
Well, no, I think Seattle, they banged up on both sides of the ball, on the offensive line, the defensive line. And again, numbers guy here, 7-14 against the spread in the last 21 games. And Atlanta, they won three in a row. Like, they rolling right now. And I always say this during the show, Atlanta at home is an automatic bet for me. And the Seahawks started off a weak schedule. Who they played? Denver, Miami, who else it was? I think the New England Patriots.
New England.
And, yeah, the defense looked good. They surrendered everybody to, what, like 14 points per game? But then after that, if I do the numbers, it's like 36 points all other teams average since. So you're not about to go again, Meech home. You're not about to go up in Atlanta right now. And, nah. And Kirk Cousins filling it. This is an official play for Sino, Atlanta Falcons -3.
All right. Let's talk about the biggest reality show in the NFL, the New York Jets, as they continue to make headlines this week. 5-star. I don't understand where all this Jets love is coming from.
We know. People, we have 5-star, though.
People love this team so much, and I'm just like, why? What have they ever done? Like, what have they ever done? They got one of the worst owners in the league. They fired their defensive coordinator. Everyone want to act like he was the problem. That defense looked a lot worse to me. They couldn't stop the run against the Buffalo Bills, who didn't come into that game known as a fearsome rush attack, right? I mean, it seemed like they downgraded there. Everybody loves Rodgers, but at this point, he's way past his prime. They added Devontae Adams. Cool, great, awesome. It's not like he makes their team worse, but he doesn't instantly make them a contender. Can Devontae Adams block? Can he open up a hole for Breece Hall? Can he protect Rodgers? Because Rodgers ain't mobile anymore. God. I'm really surprised. On the other side, I want to know what you think about this quarterback move. At first, when I saw it, I was really like, man, why are you benching Fields? Why are you benching Fields? I did watch some film breakdowns, though, of how many plays that Justin Fields was leaving on the field, as far as he likes to improvise. He's not hitting the guys in rhythm. And there's a lot of plays, especially for Pickens. If he would have get the ball out earlier and make the decision quicker, maybe Pickens could have got a bigger game. It feels like he plays outside of the system a little too much. Maybe Russ, I don't even know what to make of the quarterback move. That's the only reason I haven't hammered the Steelers yet, because I want to keep fading the Jets. But I'm just worried about what's going on in Pittsburgh. We got a lot to talk about here. Let me know what you think about Devontae Adams and the new look New York Jets.
Man, this one is just a watch for me. Maybe as it gets closer to the game, I'll do a little bit more research. But it's just a weird game because, as you said, we know like Cino was telling you, why the Jets are being hyped, and it's the media. Like, come on, we know it's a bunch of fanboys that work at these newspapers, man, and work on these online sites. They're all just a bunch of fans, man, a bunch of little spoiled rich kids who went to college and they've been liking sports since they were children, and now they cover it, and now they think they're the gatekeepers of the sport. You said one of your points, spread very much so like Dan Marino at the end of his career. A guy that can't move as well anymore, that still has a really good arm, but if you're not able to block up from him, which the Jets aren't, then how is that going to help? You don't think that T.J. Watt is going to be in the backfield on Aaron Rodgers in this game, but I can't bet the game simply because I don't know what the hell Mike Tomlin, and we're all Tomlin truthers on the show. We love Mike Tomlin. But what are you trying to do with Justin Fields, man? Or is he going through like a ritual or something? Like, is this an embarrassment ritual or something? Because I don't, he did everything that he was supposed to do there, and he's still getting benched. And we talked about this before the season started. The reason why we like Justin Fields as the quarterback better for the Steelers was because when things break down, he can make something happen with his legs. And when you have a strong defense like that, you need those crucial first downs to keep the clock moving and to keep your defense rested for another series. So I don't understand why. I don't understand what Tomlin's up to. It seems like he kind of trumped Arthur Smith because Arthur Smith came out the week prior to that and kind of threw a slug at Russell Wilson about saying that, you know, he liked – everyone liked Fields because he was a team guy and he wasn't trying to put on a persona and be someone who he wasn't. He was clearly throwing shots at Russell Wilson. So for whatever reason, Arthur Smith doesn't like Russell Wilson. So is Arthur Smith going to try to coach Russell Wilson in a way where he self-destructs and gets Justin Fields back in? That's, these are the things we don't think about. You know, me being a guy who's been inside the sport and played the sport, man, we talking about humility. After pride comes to fire, I always was nice as hell to my offensive lineman when I played quarterback because I seen too many times where a left tackle or right tackle don't like you. And guess what's going to happen during the game? They're not going to try. They're not going to try to block you during practice. They're going to get you hit. So I don't know if Arthur Smith tries to, you know, call his best plays for Russell Wilson. We haven't seen Russell Wilson play ball in a while now. He was decent with Denver, brought him back some games, but they were behind because of him as well. He has a penchant now from the last couple years I've seen him playing to start slow and try to play hero ball at the end of the game instead of just running the offense early and running the plays that they're supposed to play and win. So he has the weapons over there. I really like the receiving core for the Steelers. Not so high on the running back. You know that. I feel like he's worn down. This is just a stay-away game for me. I don't see an edge on either side. They both kind of semi or mediocre. You know, they're really mediocre teams. They have deficiencies on both sides. The Jets' strength was their defense, but now they don't have Robert Saleh. Shout out to him. He's living his best life. They just showed him at the grocery store. He looked like he was unbothered. Like, I'm going to just chill, get this money the rest of the year, and become a DC next year for a good team. And he'd probably be in Houston. He might be with the Texans next year, but I don't know. As far as this game, I see maybe that we see a big game for Davante Adams, but does it equal a win? As I said before, how much does it matter how many stats he puts up if they don't win the game? I just think the Steelers probably are a little bit better team, but Russell Wilson started, so it's a stay away from me.
Two questions for you, five-star, before I go to Cino. Okay. Number one, a lot of people are saying that there was a backdoor agreement or an under-the-table agreement that if Wilson signed, he would be the starter. And Tomlin and the organization are just keeping their word there. And the number two, especially this one, I think it's important. How do you think this affects Garrett Wilson, man? I don't think he's going to be happy when Adams comes in and gets 15 targets on the very first game, and now he's an afterthought. So what do you think about those two things that could be going on inside the organization that we don't know about?
Garrett Wilson is feisty. He's from the Houston area, man. He doesn't hold back what he thinks about stuff. So don't be surprised if he starts throwing a couple fits on the sidelines or in the locker room if Rodgers isn't looking to him, because he should actually benefit from this. Whereas I really think he's going to be the odd man left out, because we've seen this with Rodgers before, and that's what I don't like about him. He does the homeboy stuff when it comes to playing quarterback. That's why he ran Jordy Nelson's numbers up for all those years, and he ran up Davante Adams, and I think that he's going to be looking at Alan Lazard as the second option now. So As you said, he might be the odd man out. I don't think he likes that. And as far as in the agreement, I know Tomlin's a man of his word, but you got to stick with what's working for the team. You guys have a good record, but he looks like a genius if Russell Wilson looks good and is throwing, you know, darts all over the field. If he's getting the receivers involved and the offense is looking much more, you know, efficient this week, then he looks like a genius. So I can understand why he does this, but I just don't like the way this affects Justin Fields' confidence. He's saying the right things, but he has to feel some type of way. Because he said something about, like, if I was playing well enough, my job would even be different. Right thing to say, once again, goes back to the theme of the show. After pride comes to fall, he has the right type of energy. He's a humble kid. That's why I have no doubt that sooner or later, Justin Fields is going to really be successful in this league, man. But they're giving the keys to Russ. Let's see if Russ can cook or if Russ burns the food.
What do you think, Cino? This is it's a game with a lot of implications.
It should all have set up for Russell Wilson to fail. That's exactly what it is. He's not going to have his center. What's his name? Zach Frazier. Is that he one of the best centers in the league? You about to put him up under there. Like he said, five-star. The whole team loves Justin Fields. They 4-2 with the kid under there. Why are you going up under there just switching shit up? That's not like Mike Tomlin. That's
not at all.
None of that makes sense. It's all, to me, it's business. And, again, I lost on the Jets big week before last, and I know how the NFL rides. Cino will be on the Jets again. Y'all got to hit me out. I'm with Perk Rogers because it don't make no sense. And guess what? If they had that in that contract for Russell Wilson to start and he loses this game, you're going to sit your ass down. They're going to put Justin Fields right back in that game, and it's going to be no ifs, ands, buts about it. Russ is done, and it's going to be no arguing who should the starting quarterback be. Justin Fields got his spot back just like that. And they're not going to blame Mike, I don't believe. They're just going to be like, oh, Russ was trash.
All right, well, we'll see how that one goes. I know all eyes will be on that game. Another high-profile game this week. This is Monday Night Football. Baltimore Ravens heading down to Tampa Bay to take on the Buccaneers. Man, this is another one I don't really know what to make of it. I would like the Buccaneers here. My numbers like the Buccaneers. But Lamar always beats the NFC, so I'm not sure what to do here. What do you think, five-star?
Trust your numbers on this one. This is going to be a high-scoring situation. Me and Cino talked about this a couple weeks ago. Baltimore isn't good against the pass, man. They're one of the worst teams against the pass in the league, and Baker Mayfield is humming. They have to give him time because he's such a small guy. If that rush from the Ravens get to him, then he'll turn the ball over some. But if he's able to keep a clean pocket, Baker Mayfield is going to be throwing dimes. He's going to be really hyped playing against Lamar. Him and Lamar are tight. They cool with each other. They're friends. So I think that Baker Mayfield plays really well. He had a lot of success against this Baltimore team when he was the Browns quarterback. So he's familiar with them, and he has some really good weapons, man. Him and Godwin are clicking so well, and then he can always just throw it up for the homie Big Mike, you know, future Hall of Famer. A great guy to have around the end zone because of his height and his catch range. He's just been a baller his whole life, and he continues to play well even in the later stages of his NFL career. I don't trust as much Todd Bowles, you know. Y'all know how I feel about Todd Bowles. I don't think he's that good of a coach. I don't think he's a bad coach. I just think he's more of a defensive coordinator. But their defense hasn't been playing that good this year as it has in the past. Still, with that said, I just think that it's enough offensive firepower on the side of the Tampa Bay to stay in this game. They're going to be at home. Like I said, another really high-scoring game. But, man, with the Ravens being 31st in pass yards, giving up the most yards in the league, and we saw what Cincinnati was able to do to them, and I think that Tampa Bay's offense is better than Cincinnati's currently. So I got to take the +3.5 with Tampa Bay at home on Monday Night Football. I don't think they win, but I think that this is a really close, good game with a lot of fireworks, a lot of points scored.
You know, you got your little homie with you. Does he like the Buccaneers or the Ravens?
It's Eris, man. You know what she likes. She a wild animal, so she's going to roll with the wild animals. We're going to take the Ravens in this situation, man. Harbaugh, he's, I think he what? I'm looking at the numbers. I just had him up. Eris, you knocked him down. Let me see. Harbaugh, he 4-0 against Tampa Bay. Baltimore, you know, 5-2 all time against the Bucs. So why not? We're just going to roll with this. And Lamar and May feeling it right now. And shit, she in my arms. We're going to roll with the Ravens on this one.
All right. The biggest game of the week, however, is the Super Bowl rematch. The Kansas City Chiefs take on the San Francisco 49ers. Five-star, there's a lot of love for San Francisco this week, but I'm on the opposite side here. I like Kansas City, man, and I'm going to continue to bet them. I think San Francisco's defense is more heralded because they've been better for the last 5 years. But in these current iterations of the team, I think Kansas City's got the better defense. So I got a better defense, and I got a better quarterback, man. I'm on the Chiefs. Who do you like in this game?
I like San Francisco only first half, though, Spree. Oh, I like first half 49ers just because we've seen that Kyle Shanahan comes out with a really good game plan. His first 15 play scripts are really good usually. I think he's going to get Debo and Kittle involved. They're going to be rocking in Santa Clara first half. They really upset at the Chiefs because the Chiefs stopped them from winning two Super Bowls, and most of those players on that team lost to the Chiefs twice, you know, for the Super Bowl. So I know that they're going to be really hyped coming out their game. I just like early how San Francisco approaches game. They've been horrible in the second half all year. And you guys know what I think about Brock Purdy. I don't think that he's that good of a quarterback. Now, where's the money going to be at? If the money's on the 49ers, then the Chiefs are going to go crazy because we know if Mahomes is going against the public, it's over. If the money's on the Chiefs, then it's going to be a close game and come right down to the end. But I do like the 49ers first half money line.
What do you think, Sino?
I'm not betting against Mahomes. Mahomes full game, simple as that. That's a no-brainer. For five-star game, he made a lot of sense in those situations. Teams come out in the first half, and they try to take the lead or keep it close at least. So you got to ride 49ers if you play that game in the first half. But Patrick Mahomes, he packing Patrick Mahomes. The NFL love Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Some way, somehow, they're going to get away. And minus one, they're going to win that game. It might be by one, but I go with Chiefs money line in this one.
All right, we both on the Chiefs. That's it for Sunday. But we're not done yet. Ball and parlay time. What do you got for me, five-star?
We're going to rock out first with Indiana -6.5. I'm going to give you guys that as a free play. I really like everything that's going on with Kurtz and Yeti. They're at home. It's a really tough environment right now. I don't think that Nebraska is as good as their record is. Also, on the NFL – oh, no, excuse me, on the college football slate, we're going to go with Texas first half -3. I think the Longhorns are really prepared in this game. I think that they come out with a great plan. I think Sark does what he does, man, and he's beaten Kirby Smart a lot of times in the SEC already. A lot of people don't remember that he was the Alabama offensive coordinator, and he had a lot of success against the way that Kirby Smart runs his defense. So we're on Texas for sure, -3. And we've been hot on tennis. Let's stay hot. Let's go with my girl, Carolina Mahova. I think that she wins in the semifinals over in Japan. She faces young Mira Andreeva. Mira Andreeva is a really good player, but Mahova's playing on a different level right now. She's a top five player. She's trying to get in all the wins she can before the season's over because she knows if she would have played the full season, she probably would have been in the WTA finals. So expect a good performance from Mahova. So that's a trifecta from five-star. I'm giving you guys out. I'm giving you Indiana -6.5, full game. I'm giving you the University of Texas Longhorns first half -3, and I'm also giving you Carolina Mahova to beat Mira Andreeva.
All right, who do you like, Stino?
Five-star gave out Texas first half. I'm giving out Texas full game. We're going to roll with them. Tonight, we're going to take Nevada. We're going to ride with Nevada. Yep, Nevada tonight +2.5. And Sunday, we're going to ride with Green Bay. I got to take them, you know, at home. Lombardi -3. So that's my three plays. Green Bay, Nevada, and Texas. Let's roll.
All right, five-star. Hopefully you don't hate me for this one.
Oh, no. I know what you're about to do.
No, you don't, because we ain't talked about it yet at all.
Oh.
But on Monday night, I'm taking the Los Angeles Chargers. And that's my ball and parlay here. I know you're really high on Kyler Murray here, but I just think this defense from the Chargers is going to be too much for him. And one of the main reasons I like the Chargers here, they have the third highest run rate in the NFL this season. They run 52.5% of the time. Arizona Cardinals have been the fourth worst against the run this season. So the way I look at it, the Chargers' strength is the Cardinals' weakness here, and I don't think they're going to be able to overcome it. It's tough to bet against the Cardinals because we know how they have that offense. It could go off at any time. But Marvin Harrison's still coming off that concussion. Even if he does play, he still hasn't had the time to work in with Kyler in practice yet. And although while I do think they eventually will, I don't think they necessarily found that connection yet. And I think that Jonathan Gannon's a good coach, but I think that Jim Harbaugh's a great coach. So I got the better coach. I got the better quarterback. And Arizona, after losing those two defensive linemen to start the season, they haven't been able to stop the run at all. So I'm going to take the Los Angeles Chargers.
All right, you heard it there. We gave you guys 7 free plays. A lot of you guys reach out to me in the DM, and I tell you all the time, if you can't afford the package, it's okay, man. You just come to the show, watch the shows. We're giving out free plays on here, man. We want to show love. We call it pro bono work. We're going to make sure that everybody eats, man. We're going to look out for everyone from the novice better to the guys who bet a lot. Anything for the people before we get out of here, Cino?
Most definitely, like Five Star said, man, a lot of these plays I be giving out too also be on my VIP card. So that's one of the perks of listening to the show. And I see people in the comments was talking about, you know, put the markers and stuff. I'm with Five Star. We do a lot of hard work, and we give these plays to our clients. So that's the least you guys can do, you know, just versus skipping through the show and just trying to get plays or the information that you want. Just listen to the show, and you get actual VIP plays that we give to our clients. Five Star just gave y'all, like he said, a mega well play, like that he gonna hammer. Just don't jank him. All you gotta do is listen to the show, like, subscribe. We appreciate you guys, man.
Yeah, because this show is more about, and I'm glad you mentioned that, Cino, for the guy who said that, I appreciate you doing that, but I didn't create this show with my homeboys for you guys just to speed through it and go run and take our picks. You're going to be part of the Wager World, you're part of the Wager World. And what we do is we get on here and we kick it about sports. We give you a lot of sharp information, but we also talk about life, man. So I don't want you running through here. That's not what I created this show for. If it was, then we could just do a five-minute video, and then we'll just all just give you our plays, won't break them down, anything. We'll just say, we're taking this. This isn't the Waging World. The Waging World is about a community, man. It's for the underground and for the underdogs, man. And we all in this together. We're not here for you to skip. Enjoy the show, man. Be a part of the show. Come kick it with us. We're talking about a lot of good information, but most of all, we're talking about life. What you got for the people, Spread, before we get out of here?
Just so if people didn't know, this show is pre-recorded, Five Star, and I got to say, I love the beats you chose last week. Keep them riding, man. I can't wait to hear it because we do this show, but then I get to hear it coming out with the music. I want to hear another good selections because you were on point on that Wednesday show. Give me some bangers again.
I appreciate that, man. We got to turn up. You know, we love music. Cino and I come from a music background, man. We met each other in the studios and with Cino engineering and rapping, and you know, me putting shows together and rapping and engineering. So we got a real love for hip hop, and that's one of the reasons why we say it's us versus the machine. We also say we do it for the underground and for the underdogs, because we're betting sports with the, we love betting the dogs, and we like underground hip hop, man. That's what we do over here at the Waging World. You guys hit that like button. We appreciate you for being a part of the community. We're growing. One of the guys said he hopes that we stay underground, man. But we do too, man, because that's what we do it for, man. You guys continue to tune in, continue to help us grow. The goal is to get to 1K subscribers, guys. Let's get there. Tweet it out. Send a link to people. If we've ever helped you win any money, help us by letting people know about this show and the information that we're giving out on here. As always, I dedicate this show to the greatest Houston sports fan that I know, and that's my father, John H. Lindsay. I do this for you, Dad. Show number 20 of the season. It rolls by fast, guys. This is the Waging World. We'll see you next week.